Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton. With me, Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about developing the skill of accepting and living in the knowledge of the divine creation. In this show, we will explain the function of understanding the omnipresence of divine truth and what it means to be conscious of it. Listen as we discuss the process of going from sense to soul by knowing the difference between spiritual light and mental energy. We apprehend life and divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. By Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 167, line 6. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under divine protection. Swami, the title of today's show is The Art of Resolving Appearances. Let's talk about what we mean by that word, appearance.
Yeah, here I think we want to look at whatever is appearing in our corporeal senses, the testimony of the material senses, and the art of resolving appearances is sort of a spiritual coping skill in learning how to live under the influence of spiritual awareness instead of under corporeal sense pictures, which is 180 degrees from the way that we're socialized. Seeing is believing. I always think of the person that I ran into and was telling me x-rays don't lie. To graduate from material sense to soul sense really is to have faith in what is invisible and intangible, and then developing the ability to trust that and not to be senselessly optimistic here, but learning the application of spirit as a demonstrable principle.
So speaking about appearances, we just went through talking about how I was having difficulty seeing the screen with the glasses, and I kept saying, well, I know what I need to do, but for some reason, I still can't see the screen. Can you just review with our listeners what we had talked about?
Yeah, if what you're doing does not have the immediacy of an instantaneous result, then we have to have faith. We work with belief initially. There is a divine creation, that life is perfect. But if we continue to stay on the level of belief, you have to understand your reaction to the testimony of your senses is driven by the same belief. Only in this case, we believe that I need glasses. I can't see the screen. But if we're going to continue to this graduation from material sense to soul sense, we're going to have to begin to trust what is invisible and intangible. And a big barrier to that is man says, show and I will trust. And God says, trust and I will show. And by the same token, this isn't just denial of the testimony of your senses, because as Mary Baker Eddy said, for Jesus to walk on water was science. But until poor humanity walks on water, for him to step onto the Atlantic is not wisdom or science. We must know spirit is a demonstrable principle. There's a lot of work that has to be in place in order for us to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension. And we talk about that a lot.
Swami, let's dig a little bit deeper about developing the skill of accepting and living in the knowledge of the divine creation.
Yeah, see, we have to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension, and we're coming from believing in the testimony of our senses. So in order to establish some sort of evidence procedure, we want to understand that appearances are not always what they seem to be. For example, to the corporeal senses, the sun seems to rise in the east and fall in the west. It appears as if the sun travels around the earth, but in truth, the earth rotates around the sun. And we're experiencing the diurnal rotation of the earth revolving around the sun. The entire sense level of existence is only a reflection of the divine truth, which is the only reality. So here we're starting to learn how this sense mirage has fooled humanity since the beginning of time. In the second book of Genesis 2:6, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground," which begins the secondary creation. It's not the divine truth. So I think the whole thing starts with a willingness to let go of the exclusive acceptance of material sense evidence as the only way that we are going to move forward. And once we have that willingness, there is something other than what is appearing in our material senses. That creates the opportunity, working with belief until it starts to elevate to the level of faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, or faith without works is dead. When your belief in divine creation begins to reveal itself, showing the presence and the power of the divine creation is what you want to start to graduate into.
I'd like to talk more about appearances and how they're not always what they seem to be.
Yeah, divine science must really be experienced for us to sit here and talk about the power of the divine creation, the presence of the divine creation, is somewhat meaningless until we have the actual experience. And spiritual law reminds me of the principles of mathematics. We can all sit here and maybe say or argue the principles of mathematics are perfect. But then for me to say, because the principles of mathematics are perfect, my checkbook is perfect, may not measure up. Why? Because I'm not applying the principles. And the same has to do with spiritual law. See, if we are not conscious of the presence of the divine creation, then it cannot function in our experience, because awareness is how divine truth comes into our experience. If we are living out from the testimony of our material senses and we have our faith in the material senses, then we are unconscious to the divine creation. It's just like the person who may have gone to school and learned the principles of mathematics, but is not employing them to their checkbook and can't figure out why the checks aren't going through. There has to be this link, the connection between knowing and doing. And I think because of our Western socialization and our belief in material science, or we're very doubtful about this invisible, intangible, divine presence that Scripture is telling us is readily available to us. And for a lot of us, we wouldn't even know how to be conscious of that which is invisible and intangible. That's what we want to try and learn here, the art of resolving the appearances.
Swami, let me ask you a question. Is there any occasion when the appearances that are in front of us are real?
Everything that comes through the material senses is a reflection. The way I understand it, what's happening in the material senses is like the check engine light on the dashboard of a car, that the light will give you indicators of how the car is performing. provided the light is working. And so in the human experience, you want to use the testimony of your senses for giving you clues as to what am I conscious of? Because if what is appearing in your senses does not have the qualities of the divine creation, which we found in Genesis 1, God made everything and everything is very good. If we are working with the belief in two powers, then we can experience good and bad. But if we are experiencing things that do not come under the heading of very good, lack, limitation, sickness, suffering, disease, these are all things that don't appear in Genesis 1, then we know that I can't be conscious of the divine creation. And rather than trying to fix it from the level of material sense, from the level of the reflection, trying to fix matter, it reminds me of looking in the mirror and seeing that your face is dirty. And you immediately try and wash the mirror. You're washing the mirror, you're cleaning the mirror, but it's not affecting how dirty your face is. And that's what we do. We believe in the testimony of our material senses, and because what is appearing in that reflection appears to be in need of some sort of correction, we attack it on that level. And what Scripture is telling us is there's a better way. If you give yourself a half a turn and you understand that that isn't there, it is only an image in your mind which is creating that, and then you become conscious of the divine creation and you live under the influence of spiritual law, your awareness of this divine truth will resolve things into thoughts and then exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. That was the miracle. That was how Jesus could heal the sick, reform sinners, raise the dead. He wasn't using anything materially, wasn't fixing things out there. He was changing how he was thinking. He was changing what he was conscious of.
So in a summary, we said that we were going to explain the function of understanding the omnipresence of divine truth and what it means to be conscious of it. And you were just describing an example from Jesus. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, the function of understanding the omnipresence of divine truth. Now, remember, before you can get there, you first have to start with a belief in the divine creation. Then that belief must graduate to faith. And then eventually, as you become more proficient with understanding, begins to demonstrate the presence of the divine creation with scientific certainty. And what happens in this transformation? The mind that was hijacked by the material senses is freed from it. And now you are joined with the divine creative principle. And your mind now becomes an avenue of awareness for this divine truth. And you're no longer living out from this personal sense of self. You have now graduated into spiritual identity. You are the image and likeness of the divine creation. And you're no longer trying, striving, struggling, planning, or seeking. You are resting in the knowledge of the divine perfection of being. And in silence and in stillness, your mind now is an avenue of awareness for this divine creative principle. Your consciousness is now the outlet where divine truth can express itself through you as you.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya
Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, in our summary, we were going to discuss the process of going from sense to soul by knowing the difference between spiritual light and mental energy. So let's first talk about the process of going from sense to soul. And soul I see with a capital S, which I assume means something from the divine.
Yeah, soul is another word for God. I really like the seven words Mary Baker Eddy uses for God: principle, soul, life, love, mind, truth, spirit. The process is when one begins to graduate from living out from the material senses and begins to activate the spiritual senses. We talk about the term light in the Bible as the union of spirit with truth or divine will. And what one needs to do in order to, quote unquote, see the light, transmutation. And in the Bible, it was symbolized by Jesus taking John, Peter, and James to the mountaintop, which can be later translated as Christ takes divine love, faith, and humility to this higher consciousness. And all of it comes under the heading of thinking differently. Thinking is very different when seeing things through the mind of Christ, conscious of the divine creation, which doesn't negate what's happening in the material senses, but it really reduces it to a nothingness. And then, like we say, we're just using what's appearing in our senses to help us understand, what am I conscious of?
Swami, so let's talk more about that difference between the spiritual light and mental energy, and how do we know which one we're drawing from?
Mental energy is duality, creates the physical appearance, the mind-body complex that we've been using or talking about. Everything is in half, and it works on contrast. It's a divided consciousness, and it runs on a belief in two powers. So when you are in physical identity or mental identity, you are still in duality, and you're under the law of karma. Material law is the perfect accountant. For what you put out, you get back. For every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. And belief is the driving force behind the entire physical mirage, the appearance. Spiritual law is unity. It is under the divine law of absolute harmony. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. Spirit also is invisible and intangible to material sense. Spirit, however, is the only self-existent power. It is the only real power in the universe. The human concept about power only runs on belief. spirit stands alone. The indicators that we can start to use as far as, am I under material law or am I under spiritual law? What am I conscious of? What is reporting in my material senses? Because that's where you'll get all your clues from. The other thing, the false sense of existence is driven by is fear. Instinct, appetite, preservation, survival, material sense, the mortal identity has needs, and they are external to itself. And today we really use a lot of material and mental means in order to manage this fear. But we've also learned there is a big difference between managing fear using mental, material means versus living under the protection of divine law, when you are conscious of divine truth. It's the difference between stress management and Daniel in the lion's den. And as you start to drill down with these biblical stories, you start to see that scripture is giving you clues as to the power of being under the influence of spiritual awareness versus identifying with yourself as a mortal, finite, material being. Because typically in the human experience, we're not in danger, but we're responding as if we're in a real life-threatening situation. It's completely imagined. But in the biblical story, Daniel is in the lion's den. He is in a real life-threatening situation. By the same token, to material sense, he's completely out of harm's way. This is the Bible's way of showing us spirit is a demonstrable principle. Spirit is a real help, but only for those that are conscious of it.
So it sounds like that Daniel was actually living above this corporeal sense and correcting it.
Right. Coming back to what Mary Baker Eddy wrote, because I find what she wrote to be the standard for divine science, especially the fact that she says, we apprehend life in divine science only when we live above corporeal sense and correct it. We do this by being a faithful witness to the divine creation, which is before thought and above corporeal sense. And it's a vivid portrait of spirit as a demonstrable principle.
So, Swami, what is the art of resolving appearances?
Yeah, I think to help understand this a little bit, I have something from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John 28, and I'll read it. God is not your mortal body, but God is where you are. And when you accept your mortal body as reality, you are denying the presence of God. This is the hurdle that you face. The moment you accept your mortal body as being present, you have imagined a form that is not there. God is there, and God is not your mortal form, and God is all. And therefore, without the capacity to fully understand that, to know that, you still must, on faith, accept it, because God is here, and God is not this form. God being all, this form cannot be here. Where is it? It is in my consciousness, and that's the only place it exists. And as that consciousness becomes Christ conscious, then I will find and live in knowingly the Christ form. Now, that's a transition in consciousness we're all going through. The actual denial of the human form, of all material form, the good and the bad, end of quote. So the art of resolving appearances really begins when you are willing to put God first. Bypass the information that's coming through your material senses and believe beyond these appearances is the divine creation, which is perfect, it's whole, it's complete. And then by being a faithful witness to this, because you are conscious of it and you're not reacting to the testimony of your senses, then you become the channel where this divine omnipresence can function through you. And like in the case of Daniel, where he is in a real life-threatening situation to material sense, he's completely under the protection of divine truth.
I have a question for you about some of the Herb Fitch. I'll start with, God is not this form. God being all, this form cannot be here. And then he says, where is it? It's in my consciousness. Then later he says, if that consciousness becomes Christ consciousness, then I will find and live in knowingly the Christ form. So my question is, it's a two-parter. Do we have two places where our form is? And would you say that Daniel knowingly was in this Christ form, whereas he didn't realize that he was in any danger?
Well, to the best of my understanding, there aren't two forms. Now, like Herb says in the beginning, God is not your mortal body. God is your immortal body. Because in truth, there is no mortal body. The mortal body is a mental image. And what we're learning is the more divinely mental the image, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear. The appearance is never real. But when we do not know that, when we are not conscious of the infinite spiritual body, and we identify with the physical mind-body complex, then we are out of divine consciousness. We're under material law. We're in the cycle of death and rebirth. What we're learning is the art of resolving these appearances comes when we stop thinking. The divine image is before thought and above material sense. Use our awareness to be conscious of what doesn't report in the material senses, and then in silence and in stillness, we wait on spiritual light. When the spiritual light illuminates our thought, this is what we call thinking differently, because how we think is what we become. Consciousness is experience, but when you are conscious of divine truth, then you externalize the divine image, the Christ form, as opposed to the human mental concept about that. Was Daniel in his Christ form? I would say all of the indicators would say yes to that, but is that provable? I don't think so, because you can also have this stuff happen karmically. You can be under the protection of karmic merit. In Revelations, looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. You're not conscious of the divine creation, but you do have karmic merit, which eventually you're still under that cycle of death and rebirth. You're not liberated from it. You still have a belief in two powers, but you're not devoured by the lions. But it is a good indicator when you're not devoured by the lions.
Oh, we did gather some verses from the Bible having to deal with appearances. I'll read the first one, then I'd like to hear your thoughts about it. This is from John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Yeah, see, what John's talking about here is to judge with your spiritual senses, to see the divine creation and the divine creation only, to see the perfection of being. And once we begin to put that first, divine creation first, then material sense second, as opposed to the way we go about it, material sense first, and then divine possibilities, we can't serve two masters. I love what Mary Baker Eddy said. You render the divine law of healing void and obscure when you weigh the human in the same scale as the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God.
Well, we're going to start breaking down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio. Clicking that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. Clicking on the Products tab, then Online Classes, directs you to the classes that Swami has available. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live under divine protection. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.